Let's move on to this now. And South Africa's convoluted public procurement system has, says my next guest, become a hotbed for legal battles over the years. And this has resulted in significant delays and inefficiencies that hinder service delivery and drain financial resources on a national level. So I'm in conversation now with Vincent Manko, who is Johannesburg Dispute Resolution Director at the law firm Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. And Vincent, a very good evening to you and welcome. Let's start with some context, if we can. What do we mean by convoluted?
Thank you for having me, Jeremy, and good evening to your listeners. Maybe let's just take a bit of a step back. So what is public procurement? It basically refers to a process through which the state acquires goods and services to fulfill public functions, right? So what has happened is, over the years, South Africa has not really amended its existing legislation when it comes to public procurement. The last amendments or major overhauls were in 1999 and 2000. So the complexity comes in the fact that there is different regulations and different regulators that regulate public procurement. That creates issues and it's a fertile ground for litigation.
So can you give me an example of how this might negatively impact a procurement system then, or a procurement process?
What then happens is, because more often than not, this public procurement process are then stuck in the courts, that then affects service delivery, because a party would then interdict those proceedings, or they say there's a tender, they will say, well, court, I want to review this tender, so therefore I want an interdict pending the resolution of that resolution. So what happens is that then get stuck in the courts for years and years, and that then affects service delivery, which then also becomes a problem.
And would I be correct in saying that the complexity that you talk about perhaps also enables an opportunity for more corruption somewhere along the value chain?
Certainly not. And we've definitely learned this lesson from the Zondo Commission. You will see that if you go through the report, majority of the findings particularly relate to public procurement. And that goes to the fact that it's so complex, it's regulated by different regulations, different legislations.
But we do need to simplify the system. So there's now something called the proposed public procurement tribunal. What is the thinking behind that? And what would the roles and responsibilities be?
So realizing these challenges that the public procurement system is facing, the Minister of Finance last year introduced what we call a public procurement bill. That was in June 2023. And one of the aims of that public procurement bill is to create a single regulatory framework for public procurement. Well, how does it do that? It then establishes what is called a public procurement tribunal. And the aim of that tribunal is to then hopefully resolve all the disputes that arise from tender disputes or public procurement disputes.
So how does this differ then from current enforcement mechanisms? It sounds like just another layer of complexity.
That may well be so. So how it works is, if a tenderer is dissatisfied with a decision of an institution, one of the things they have to do is to then exhaust their internal remedy. So you must then appeal to that institution in what is called, referred to in the bill as reconsideration. When that has happened and you are unsatisfied, you can then approach this tribunal. The aim seems to be to then, hopefully then, the disputes will then be resolved, all of them, at this tribunal. But obviously that may not be the case, because we may end up having most of disputes in courts anyway. So there's criticism that this tribunal will just be another layer in a process that is already convoluted and elongated.
I suppose it depends on who sits on the tribunal and how seriously they take the job.
That is so. You will see that this tribunal will be chaired by a retired judge. It also proposes appointing people who are expertise in public procurement issues. But one of the criticisms of this tribunal, for example, is the fact that there is no specified time period in which they must render their decisions. So the bill talks about the fact that you have 10 days in which to approach the tribunal after your letter of award or letter of non-award, but there is no specified time period in which this tribunal must then render its decision, which then goes back to the criticism that they might well just be another added layer into an already convoluted system.
So how will the people that sit on the tribunal actually be approaching their job? Will they have a different way of adjudication?
It seems to me that it's going to be operating more or less like the way the court would. Obviously, the intention is to make it as less formal as possible. For example, there is no requirement for legal representation. So a bidder, for example, that is dissatisfied does not need to get legal representation to approach the tribunal. So in that sense, it is going to be as less formal as possible. That seems to be the intention. But we will see once the act has been promulgated and the tribunal is operational.
I also read that there are certain safeguards that have been proposed within the tribunal system to prevent further legal battles and, to your point, ensure more efficient service delivery. What would those safeguards be? Do you know about that?
Yeah, there is a couple of them. I've already mentioned the first one. The first one is before you approach the tribunal, you must have exhausted what was called
all other avenues. What else is there?
Correct. The other safeguard is that tribunal has, in certain instances, they have the power to grant what is called cost orders. So if a person comes and the tribunal is of the view that perhaps that application for a review was vexatious, had no merit, they can grant cost orders. That will hopefully then discourage people from bringing frivolous review applications before the tribunal.
So when all is said and done, how is this going to be enforced?
So it's interesting to see how it will work, because I mean there are some challenges around how the tribunal will work. For example, issues around publicity. The hearings must be in public. There may only be issues around trade secrets of tenderers and stuff. There are issues around standstill provisions that says within that 10-day period you can't really do anything. Issues around funding. Being in South Africa, funding is always a big issue. So there are concerns around how the tribunal will actually be operate in the end.
All right, Vincent Munka, we're going to leave it there. I'm hearing a lot of concern and skepticism, but thank you for filling us in on what could be a very important development. Ultimately, it's all about service delivery and getting it to people quicker rather than later. Vincent, by the way, is with the law firm Cliffdecker Hofmeyr and Johannesburg Dispute Resolution Director. Thank you very much indeed.